Well, for the last 8 weeks, the last 2 months, we've been walking together down the Beatitude Road, step by step. Today we take the final step. And to get ourselves prepared for the final step of this journey, let's do a quick review of each one of these steps as we open up our hearts to Jesus. We began our journey in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We learn that when you begin to walk down the Beatitude Road, you begin down on your knees in humility before God, realizing that you live in spiritual poverty, that you cannot save yourself. You need God in order to save you, to help you, to guide you, instruct you, and bring you salvation. And once you take that first step, you're ready for the second. In Matthew 5, 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The mourning, the sorrow, the grief we learned is primarily over your sin and all the different ways that you've displeased God. And when you mourn and grieve over the sinfulness in your life, it supernaturally leads you to confession and repentance. And when you come humbly before God, admitting your sin, being sorrowful and mournful for the many ways you've displeased God, God responds to you and He comforts you. And we learn that the greatest comfort that God can bring is His forgiveness of your sins. Because the Bible says when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, not only to forgive us of our sins, but to purify us from all unrighteousness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And then we're ready for the third step on the Beatitude Road in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And we learn that meekness is not weakness. It's power under God's control. Because the word meek means humble submission. And these are spiritual steps. It's humble submission to God. Some synonyms of the word meek are yieldedness, surrender, submission. It's where you give your heart and your soul over to the Lord. And then as you continue on the journey, you take the fourth step on the Beatitude Road, which is in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, when you give your heart to the Lord, when you open up your heart and you submit to His rule and reign, God begins to work in your life. And you experience these blessings, and you want more of God, and more of God, and more of God. This intense desire and this earnest yearning wells up within your soul as you thirst and hunger for righteousness. That means having a right standing with God, maintaining a right relationship with God, and living right for God. And God responds to you as you hunger for Him, as you really want more of Him in your life. God responds, and He gives you complete satisfaction. Spiritual satisfaction within your soul. That's what it means to be filled in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And then you take what God has given you and you go and you take the next step on the Beatitude Road. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You're out there in the world and you're being kind and compassionate and loving towards others. And we learned one of the greatest ways that you and I can show mercy to people in the world is through forgiveness. Being a forgiving person. Someone who doesn't harbor grudges. Someone who doesn't harbor resentment towards others. But you're a forgiving person. Not giving people the hard things that they may deserve. But you're merciful to them. And then God responds and He shows you more mercy. Remember, we talked about God's cycle of mercy. You receive mercy to open your heart to Him, and then as you open your heart to others, He shows you more mercy and more mercy in your life. And then you're ready to take the next step on the Beatitude Road in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The word pure, we learned, means undivided devotion in the totality of your inner self. That you've blocked out the things of the world and you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And when you do, when you are fixed and focused on the Lord, you will see God. And what that means is that you'll actually experience God. Granted, you'll only experience God partially in this life, but someday when you get promoted, when you're a Christian and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, your sins are forgiven, you get to go to heaven. And when you get to go to heaven, you come in the presence of the Lord, you'll actually see God for all that He is. But right now, when you have that undivided devotion, when you're fixed and you have those blinders on against the world, you will experience God in your life. And then last week we studied the seventh beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. A peacemaker has already made peace with God, because you cannot give something that you do not have. Do you understand? A peacemaker has made peace with God. And then you take the peace of God and you go out into the world and you offer it to other people. You let them know you can be reconciled with the Holy God. God loves you. God wants to have a friendship with you. And Jesus Christ, His Son, died for you, and it is possible for you now to be reconciled with a holy God. That's what a peacemaker does, helps others to see that they can make peace with God. But you also, as a peacemaker, make peace with others. You're a kind and gracious, compassionate person that is seeking peace in relationships, seeking to bring harmony into the world, seeking to bring wholeness out there in the world. And then you will be called a son of God, meaning that is your character quality, because peacemaking is a godlike endeavor. You're acting like a son of God when you're a peacemaker. These are the steps that Jesus brought before us. This is the pathway that we have. It's a journey to joy. It's a journey into Jesus. And it draws you closer to God. And today, we're all set and we're ready to take the final step on the Beatitude Road. And as we do, we look down and we see that there's a crowd of people that have gathered at the end of the Beatitude Road. We're hoping that those people will encourage us, that they're going to cheer us on, that they're going to congratulate us and say, congratulations, you're a Beatitude person. You followed the steps. But as we look closer at the crowd that's gathered, we realize that it's not a friendly crowd. It's a hostile mob. And in fact, they're there to boo. They're there to hiss at us and even persecute Beatitude people. Listen to what Jesus says. The final Beatitude, the final step, is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Notice what Jesus says in the final Beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus catches us by surprise. It's not what you expected. It's something different. That the world and the people in the world are hostile towards Beatitude people. What is that all about? The final Beatitude, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. It's quite a shock, is it not? It's not what you would expect to happen to Beatitude people. Let's take a closer look at what Jesus is talking about today. He simply brings before us the reality of persecution for beatitude people, and he presents to us a sobering truth. Those who faithfully live according to the first seven beatitudes at some point will experience the eighth. What does he mean by persecution? What is it that people in the world are going to do against those who have come into the kingdom, those who have walked the beatitude road, those who have submitted their hearts, minds, and souls to King Jesus, those who are Christians? What is it that we're in store for? What does he mean? Well, let's take a look at the words that are used here in this final beatitude. The word persecution is repeated three times, and it means to unjustly drive away with harassment and abuse. And he also talks about verbal insults in verse 11. It means to harshly criticize using abusive words. And it talks about false accusations, that slander, that's gossip that's said behind a person's back. This is what is awaiting beatitude people as they take the final step on the beatitude road: persecution, verbal insults, and false accusations. This is what Jesus brings before us in the final beatitude. What are the reasons for persecution? Why would beatitude people be persecuted by people in the world? Well, he tells us in Matthew 10, 5, verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." Because of righteousness. And we learn that the word righteousness is all connected around the word right. It's because you have a right standing with God, because you have a right relationship with God, because you're living right for God. Those who live righteously will inevitably be persecuted for it. That's reason number one given by Jesus in this beatitude. What are some other reasons for the persecution? He tells us in verse 11, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me," he says in accentuation. Because of me, Jesus says, meaning genuine Christians are related to Jesus Christ, and we stand up and we stand for what Jesus stands for. And ultimately, the persecution is against Jesus Christ. The world and those who are in control of the world, we're going to get to that in the next reason about what's going on in the world, they're hostile towards beatitude people because of Jesus Christ. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I know it's happened to me before. Not often, but it certainly has happened to me. Have you ever noticed that when you have conversations with people in the world, particularly people that are in and of the world, that it's okay to talk about God or about spirituality, but all of a sudden, if you bring in the name of Jesus, there's a hostility there. There's something about talking about Jesus, or when you talk about what Jesus means and what Jesus is about, and you tell other people about Jesus, it kind of, the conversation kind of rises to a new level. Have you noticed that? I think that is very much connected with the reason that is given here in Matthew 5:11. "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me," Jesus says. And then we get to the third reason for persecution that comes to us in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12. Listen to these words from the Bible. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I'm going to read the notes that I wrote down in regards to these verses here. What's another reason why Beatitude people are persecuted? Because of the great enemy. The great enemy of Jesus Christ and Christians is Satan, also known as the devil, and his cohorts known as demons, who are fallen angels. They comprise the spiritual forces of darkness and evil. And Satan and demons, they oppose Christians. Why? Because we belong to Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, He lives within us. All those in the world that don't know Christ, who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior and leader of their life, they are known in Scripture, according to the Apostle John, as children of the devil. And because of that, they are against Christians who are known as children of God. There's this clash that occurs out there in the world between the children of God and the children of the devil. There's a spiritual battle being waged. There's a spiritual battle that's raging, and that battle is heightened when we as Christians go out into the world, which happens to be the devil's territory. When we go out into the world as Beatitude people to be merciful, to be peacemakers, to stand up for righteousness, and to live our lives as godly Christians, there's a battle that we are faced with, a spiritual battle. And the underlying reason for persecution is that there is a spiritual battle between the spiritual forces of good and the spiritual forces of evil, as clearly stated here in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12. Notice verse 12, our struggle that we're having out there in the world is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against other people. Notice what it says, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There is a spiritual battle being fought out there in the world. Are you aware of that? And it's one of the strong reasons why there's persecution in the lives of Beatitude people. How are we ever to respond to persecution when people say different things against us or are fighting against us? Well, he tells us in Matthew 5:12, the response is, rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That phrase, rejoice and be glad, means to be overjoyed to the point of expressing happy excitement. This too probably catches us by surprise, but you notice the reasons that he gives, and I'm going to get to those in a moment. But you rejoice and you're glad when you're persecuted for being a Christian. What's another response to persecution? Well, it comes at the end of verse 12. In the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. How do you respond? You remember. You remember when you are persecuted for being a Christian. You remember that you're in good company with the Old Testament prophets, and I put in parentheses, and Christians that have been persecuted throughout history. There's a long history of persecution of God's people. Clearly, the prophets in the Old Testament were persecuted for the messages that they brought about God. But you know what? So have Christians throughout history. If you know anything about history and within the Christian religion, within Christianity, you know that Christians are persecuted. And even today, there are Christians that are martyred just because of their faith. There are Christians that are being persecuted just because they believe in Jesus. We're blessed to live in a free country, but that's not true around the world, is it? I hope you know that. That even right now, as I'm preaching, there are Christians that are being persecuted for their faith, for standing up for Jesus, for being bold for Christ. They're being persecuted around the world, but we are to remember that. that we're in good company when we are persecuted. That's another response to persecution. And what are the rewards of persecution? Well, take a look in what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This beatitude, believe it or not, just like all the other beatitudes, has the word blessed or blessedness. There's a supernatural experience of deep soul joy and delight that comes from God's favor, and it will be experienced by those who are persecuted. That's what Jesus is teaching. There's a blessedness that comes when you stand up for being a Christian, when you stand out in public, in school, or wherever you are, in your neighborhood, in the marketplace, when you stand up for Jesus, there's a blessedness that comes from that. What's another reward of persecution? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the same reward or blessing that came from the first beatitude. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's an emphatic personal pronoun in the present tense. Right now, you experience the kingdom of heaven. And we learn that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are interchangeable phrases. And it refers to the rule and reign of God with our hearts. And just like with all the other beatitudes, you can't just pull these out separately. They all go together. They're in logical succession with one another. And if you have in fact followed the beatitude road, you have opened up your heart to the rule and reign of God in your heart because you've humbly submitted to King Jesus. But that's another reward of persecution, is the rule and reign of God in your hearts as you submit to Him. And what's the third reward of persecution? He tells us in verse 12, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, he says. Folks, church family, all I can say to this is wow. Wow. I don't know what that is going to be like. I can't even describe it for you. I can't lay out what the rewards are going to be, but just imagine going to heaven and receiving a great reward given to you by God, by the Holy Spirit. Great is your reward in heaven. All I can say is, wow, how amazing is that going to be when you finally make it to heaven, your true home, and a great reward is waiting for you there. John MacArthur made this comment. This is a quote from him. Persecution is one of the surest and most tangible evidences of salvation. And I write, persecution is evidence that a person has taken the steps along the beatitude road. I have to say to all of you today that this whole concept of persecution may seem foreign to you. And I'm here to say that I believe that the persecution that we receive today in our country, the United States of America, is certainly different than the persecution they experienced in the first century or in other parts of the world. Because we are blessed. We are blessed. We live in a free country where we have the freedom of to practice our religion. Can I hear an amen to that? We have freedom to practice our religion. We can freely come here today and worship God without fear, without persecution, without somebody coming in and attacking us because we believe in Jesus. But I believe that persecution still exists in the United States of America today. We see it through the media. We see it in the form of rejection. We see it when people may say things behind our backs. They may even say it in front of us, but persecution still exists. When you walk the beatitude road, when you are a true, genuine Christian who has come into the kingdom of God, God's word is true. There is persecution of some form, in some way, in store for you, because that's what the Bible teaches. Persecution is one of the surest and most tangible evidences of salvation. Isn't that a powerful quote from John MacArthur? Well, here's my summary for this final beatitude and the final Sunday of the sermon series. There is deep soul joy and delight for those who are persecuted because of their right standing with God, their right relationship with God, living right for God, and because they are related to Jesus. They experience the rule and reign of God in their hearts and receive a great reward in heaven. The world doesn't like beatitude people, but God does. But God does. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.